matters every day. Then we can help each other along the way.
Way on course.
God, it will be beautiful. God, it will be glorious. God, it will be our everlasting joy. God, it will be wonderful. God,
this evening's service will serve several functions. I think it will be a fitting end to the conference. It will allow our two locals again to join the hand of fellowship, which we always enjoy. It will be a chance for us to wish you all farewell and Godspeed on your way home. And tonight it's my pleasure to be the keynote speaker and also the anchor man to all of these things. To introduce a gentleman who doesn't tell you to do as I say, but do as I do. A man who I believe, and I'm not going to embarrass him, really tries to live what he says. Be it people or wounded birds, he'll always give you a helping hand. I've enjoyed my associationship with him. I ask your kind attention, your prayers, and your smiles, as we always ask for here, for the brother we all love, Hubert Gates.
Thank you very much, brother. I probably won't.
Okay.
I appreciate your remarks. I just hope that is always true. You know, as I said here this evening, it's really hard for me to come and to listen to the specials and the singing of our people and the readings from my Aunt Evelina without so oftentimes feel like that there was a message delivered and it was time to sit down, because they were most beautiful. And you know, I don't think I see my sister here at this time that sang that beautiful song of Jerusalem. But she can't understand how it touched my heart. The things in which they sang this evening, and in reality, the very reading that my Aunt Evelina brought to bring our hearts and our minds here in the room tonight, was really the theme of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our sister sang that the gates of Jerusalem would be open and none would be denied. My young and Gary and my sister Odin, they sang, Zion will be beautiful. You know, as my brother Bill, as he spoke last night, made the statement that 152 years ago, God again set his hand a second time. Yes, 152 years ago, God again set his hand for the last time. It was to be no longer a hand that the children of men would be prevailed against and wear out the saints of the Most High. It was a hand wherein that a people would be blessed with a sufficient amount of strength and spiritual understanding and vision, and with the strength in the legs of their spiritual body to reach out into the nations of the earth and to subdue it. That little nucleus that was cut out of the mountain without hands, that should roll across the nations of the earth and subdue it and break it to pieces. And I believe that as our brother, our ancient brother Daniel, proclaimed of those things, and I believe that that little stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and as it went out into the nations of the earth, it rolled with perfect harmony. It rolled with love. It didn't roll with chinks broke out of it in pieces, but it rolled in unity. It rolled with compassion and mercy for the children of men. It rolled, I believe, with the power of God, the Eternal Father, in perfectness to reach out to the souls of the children of men. I believe that as we approach the period of time that we live in, we would have to ask ourselves, what day is this that we, those of us whom God has touched our hearts, that we might take upon us the name of Christ, that we might take upon us the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is our lot? We heard our brothers speak of the heritage. We heard our brothers prepare us for the things that is brought up to this time now, that is required of a people. A requirement that our brother brought out the other night that said that they had so set themselves in to those things in which they believed that they carved it in a rock. But he didn't want us to think that just because they carved their desires, that they carved their thoughts and their willingness to serve God in a rock, that we know that rock can be destroyed. But he was bringing to our attention that they had allowed God, the Eternal Father, to touch their hearts and to burn and to chisel within their hearts the desire, the strength, the understanding.
I'm sorry, but a few sentences will be lost in the process of turning the tape.
That has a goal and a destination. A people that God has said, I set my hand a second time. A people that has had a testimony that this gospel of the Jesus Christ shall not be again taken from the earth and left to other people. But it should stand forever. The one that our sister sang about in Jerusalem of the cross. Those that Evelina was talking about were in that they stood 6 feet from the cross. He who said, I found my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As I was endeavoring to prepare myself before coming to the conference, as I was endeavoring to put myself in the position that as I come here and had the privilege to meet with you, my lovely brothers and sisters, that I would come with a sufficient amount of charity within my heart, with the desires of my heart and the thoughts of my mind, or like the psalmist said, that the meditation of my mind and my heart would be for the welfare of my soul, and that which would be inducing to invite the Spirit of God. And as I was meditating upon those things and visiting with the Lord, there were those things that were brought to my mind concerning us as a people. what I would like to bring to your attention tonight. There might cover more than one subject, but nevertheless, there are things that are pertinent for us to come to the realization. And I'm not going to tell you anything that's new, because I don't believe that I am, because there's things that you know, but there's things just exactly like my Aunt Evelina read. They knew, but they were still standing 6 feet from the cross. Things that we know that's necessary for us to apply to our lives, but yet we find the lack of courage or the lack of the necessity, things of life that comes of the Spirit, to be able to put them to use in our life. I'm talking about the period of time, the day that we live in. A day that we live in which we know is short, which means we're living in the day, my lovely brothers and sisters, that it's going to be up to you and I to rise up and be accounted for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the day that the heritage of God is a heritage of victory. Not of the yesterdays that was prophesied by the prophets of old, that they would be worn out, that they would be prevailed against. I'm talking about a dispensation of time that after the angel flew from the midst of heaven, that everlasting gospel should be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and then the end should come. I'm talking about a God that has in His great love again established the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would nourish the souls of the children of men, and with the great strength and power of His holy hand, but yet with the love and the tenderness beyond our understanding, with the gentleness soften the hearts and lead them unto His holy Son, that they might yield and be counted as His. I'm talking about a body of Christ and members in particular. I'm talking about those who are no more strangers but fellow citizens of the household of God. Those who have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who have obtained through the leadings of that Spirit a knowledge of those things which are pertinent to the welfare of the souls of the children of men, and to those things that you and I understand that are true and essential for the gospel of Jesus Christ to reach out and touch the hearts and the nations of the world. We have come to that understanding not by the wisdom of man, but by the inspiration of the Spirit of God that touches the minds and the hearts of those who would truthfully yield and seek wisdom from God the Father, that He might lead and direct and edify their hearts and their minds of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For 152 years, the glorious body of the gospel of Christ has been held back because of the children of men. It has not had the power to reach out with the strength that is necessary to go forth to subdue and to smite the earth with the word of God, because of the frailties of men. My lovely brothers and sisters, I want you to come to the realization tonight that where there is frailties in the body of Christ, it's because of me. It's because of you. And it's not because of the one who has set his hand for the second time. Neither it is of he who told the servant, "Go ye forth and gather the servants," as our brother taught the other night. And he went and gathered them, and he found they were few. And he said, "Go ye out and prune with all your might." And he says, "The Lord of the vineyard went with them."
I'm talking about a period of time that after he had established the gospel of Christ for 152 years, it's been just floating along. I'm talking about a body of Christ that must set her feet underneath it and stand up in righteousness, that is touched by the ray of the sun and given vision by God the Father to know wherein they should walk. I'm talking about a body of Christ that shall stand against the wiles of the devil, and a people who are instruments in the hands of God, of His choosing and of His calling, ones that go forth with power and might and through the Spirit has the power to pluck the teeth from the lion and the devourer. Oh, yes. Peter tells him that that young lion shall be about seeking whom he may devour. But we are worshiping, and we talk to, and we have a right to follow after and hold on to the hand of He who has the power to subdue that lion and make him to walk about even as the lions in the lions with Daniel and seal his mouth in the lives of the children of men. That there be that unity in the Church of Christ with such power that as we live in the day and keep your eyes open of the World Council of Churches, the time is coming that it shall rise up. And it's time that the Church of Christ rises up. And as we view across the nations, and as we see the evidence of the power of the adversary moving upon the nation and upon the churches about, and upon the Protestantism and the gathering of those, we must know that it is time at hand for the Church of Christ to be accounted as His upon the face of the earth. We must know, my brothers and sisters, that today is the day that this Church of Christ must begin to apply even that thing that we heard Brother Marvin speak, that I bear witness of, that we indeed ply that love that allows us to love one another in spite of our differences. But in that love for one another, if we do even as we have been commanded to love thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength, we will find that our first love is to He who has given us life, and through the atonement upon the cross has shown that the grave and hell hath no victory. That is the heritage of those who shall hear me this night, and those in the tomorrows who will take upon them the name of Christ and walk into the bride of the Church of Christ. The heritage is those of a victor who shall rise up and lean upon He who has the power to direct and has the power to smite and set aside the one who is a destroyer of the souls of the children of men. I'd like to read a scripture on page 37 in the Book of Mormon. I think that most of you are aware of it. I'm going to read one verse, and it's going to be the 187th verse. And he said, "Blessed are they who seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." And the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, the Scriptures tell us, is the Spirit of truth and teaches us all things and bring them to our remembrance whatsoever Christ had said unto us. It is not a spirit of fear. Neither is it a spirit of slothfulness and disobedient, or a spirit of hatred or malice one towards another. But it is a spirit that develops a heart that cries out unto the Lord, "Come ye, who is the potter, and mold this clay with your holy hand, that it shall be acceptable before thee, and be so prepared to work for you." That's what that Holy Ghost is. It's a conscience that says love. It's a conscience that says work, work, work. Don't wait, wait, wait. It's a conscience that says, rise up and let the world know that God has a people. It's a conscience that says, stand and be accounted for God the Eternal Father and His Son Jesus Christ. It's not one that says, tuck your tail, be mute, hide, just whisper, don't speak out, don't say nothing to that brother. He might think you're trying to jam it down his throat. I am. I'm trying to jam it down your throat and theirs. That's life. Just like I'd put a pill down your throat if it was to save the physical body, I want to put the gospel of Jesus Christ down their throat and it saves their soul. Across the nations of the world today, my sisters and my brothers, it has been given me to know of the chaos and the condition that is going about and the development of that power that shall come against the saints of God. And of the unrest and the heartaches and of the fears and the trials of the children of men that you and I might not call tonight our brothers and sisters in the household of God. But yet their fears are real. Their heartaches are real. Their cries and their wondering, all many of them, they're based and they look to the arm of the flesh. Yet, my lovely brothers and sisters, to those who have been able, through the leadings of the Spirit of God, come to a knowledge of the place of the peace, He says, I give unto you, not as the world give I, but His peace. A peace that tells us to lay the burdens at the feet of Jesus and find rest for the souls of the children of men. Brothers and sisters, it has been impressed upon me that today is the day and the hour and the moment and the second that this Church of Christ should begin to stand up and be accounted for God the Eternal Father across the face of the earth. And it must stand in peace. It must stand in love. And those who are confused and hungry and thirsting and know not where they should go, they should see the light and the radiance and feel the warmth of the love that you have one towards another, that I have towards you, the warmth and the love that we hold towards the Savior of men. That He would touch us and direct us and cause that we would be able to not only come to the full knowledge of what He would have us do with the people, but through the directing power of His Holy Spirit, have the way to convey it in such a manner that it should touch the hearts of the souls of men and draw them to Him. Oh, I can come here and I can have a lot of things on my mind and I can come to this place and I can get in my mind that, well, you know, I got to get in here and boy, I got to work and boy, my name's Hugh Yates. You know, my brothers and sisters, I am not so naive to think that there won't be smoke roll out of the chimney if Hubert Yates isn't here. There's nothing that Hubert Yates can do of himself because I'm just the flesh. And God is the power and the Spirit. And whether I desire to yield to God and allow Him to use me as a vessel for His holy work, as a polished shaft in His hand, to reach out, to draw souls unto Him, it has to be my choice, just like yours is yours. But whether you and I are going to be part of that or not, it will be done. And we must understand, my brothers and sisters, just like the people in times old, they got pretty cocky and they threw their chest out and they told old John the Baptist, "Listen here, brother, I want you to know that I'm of the seed of Abraham." And it didn't take that brother long to inform them that of those stones could God rise up a seed unto Abraham. From the stones he could rise up a seed unto Abraham. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to testify to you tonight that this gospel of Jesus Christ and the message therein to save the souls of the children of men is going to expand and go across the nations of the earth. And it is going to go and subdue and overcome all obstacles. And it's going to go with power, because it's going to go with a people that's ready to give their energy and their work. It's going to I imagine that I am talking to those in this audience who have physically, as I have, held a plow. And what happens when you start looking back? You find that your roles start wandering. And when you and I look away from the law of God, when we look away from the power that can unite us, when we hold back in our humanness and let it not soften our hearts that we be a united people, we're looking back, and his furrows aren't straight. My brothers and sisters, it is time for you and I to realize what we must do with the heritage that's been given to us in this dispensation of time. And we must realize that that heritage is to grow and to go across the nations of the earth. That love that you carry in your heart must be given, not held, but given. It must be delivered to those about you, that they in return learn to give, and they give to those about them, that they can feel that peace and find the serenity and find the answers to their lives in a place called the Church of Christ, the restored gospel of God the Father on the face of this earth. My brothers and sisters, there are multitudes of nations today being deceived by the institutionalism and the power of the adversary through the false teachers across the nations of the earth. And it's time that those who have embraced the knowledge of the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ and have held the understanding that that angel flew from the midst of heaven, it's time that that angel's message to be delivered unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And for that to be done, it's going to require you and I to be one. It's going to require that you and I equally lean into the yoke to pull and to labor and to work for righteousness' sake. You know, I'd like to turn over for a moment. Oh, before I get there, I want to make a statement. These things that I'm endeavoring to bring to your attention to awake you to the fact of the work that is ours, and the necessity to be about our Father's business. The same thing that a 12-year-old man said once, a youngster, 12 years old, and says, "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Know ye not that we must be about our Father's business?" Indeed we must. You know, the things that were brought up for suggested purposes for the solemn assembly, when I got here, I was staggered as my brother Norman Warfield handed me one as I come in, and I leaned over and I told my wife, I said, "You see that number four there? That's the message that this people's got to come to. That's the message that I was given to bring to this people. I'd like to read it. That we seek God's help. You don't need mine. We need God's help. If I was to give you help, it would be tangled up in the humanness of the flesh. That we seek God's help in making this church a place of peace and refuge for those endeavoring to escape the turmoil and change of this world and its institutions." Now, isn't that an odd thing? Don't you understand that the Spirit of God works? Don't you know that He enlightens His servants many times to teach? He enlightens His servants of those same things that is necessary to feed the sheep, that they might understand. I'd like to turn over to 1 Samuel, and I'd like to turn to the 17th chapter, and I'd like to bring to your attention a story that we tell our children that's a common story about a young man. About a young man that his dad called him in from the sheep, and he told him, "Now listen here, David. He says, your older brothers, they're up there now on the line ready for war. They're going to fight those Philistines, and I want you to take some food up to them so they don't go hungry, because they've got to have strength if they're going to fight." And you better believe that. They've got to have strength if they're going to fight, and if this body's going to fight, we're not going far on the strength of Brother Hubert Yeats. But we have to have the strength of God, the Eternal Father. Then we'll endure. But he says, "We got to take up some food." He says, "Now you take this food and you go on up there. I want you to feed your brothers. I'm bringing this out to you quickly." And so he went up there, and when he was over there feeding his brothers, there came a giant named Goliath. And he come up to the stream and threw his chest out, and he was carrying a great big bunch of armor and everything that was made by man. Boy, he was challenging them over there and said, "Come on, you little fellas, come on over here and see me. See my strength and power? Look at that, come on over here, and I'll just whittle you right down to size. And then you worship us. And you'll be our slaves, and we'll just take you over." Boy, they all cowed down and looked, and this little old lad says, "Hey, what the son are you hiding from that uncircumcised fella for? Does that guy over there know that he's talking to the army of the God of Israel? What are you cowing down to that fella for? Who in the heck is he?" And his older brother said, "Shh, hey man, boy, don't say too loud. He might hear you. You know, he might jump over the stream and come on and get us. Hey, just hold back there a little bit, man. Don't speak up too loud, because we sure wouldn't want that to happen." But that young lad wasn't afraid. He went down and told the king. He said, "Hey, I'll go down and see that fella. I'm not afraid of him." The king said, "Why?" He says, "You're but a lad. What are you going to do with him?" He says, "Well," he says, "I'll tell you one thing." He says, "I'll whip the lion and the bear when they come to get the sheep of my father. And the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from him." Old Saul says, "Well," he says, "I bet you just as well go ahead." But he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Here, I want you to take my garb here now and get it on you, because, boy, it's, you know, you're going against a heck of a man there. He's a giant." And the young lad, he found that he couldn't carry those things that was made by man and go into battle. So instead he took them off. He went into battle just as he was over the God of Israel. Yes. He went in there and he went down to the stone, down at the brook, and he picked up five little old smooth stones. Oh, my goodness, that big giant come out and he said, "What are you doing? You come out here just like I'm just an old, just a dog or something. What are you doing out here with a crook and stuff like that? What are you doing coming out here, little old fella like you? Well, I'll just feed your flesh to the birds." And you know, he thought he was going to, too. Just exactly like the adversary thinks he's going to overpower the body of Christ. But I'll make you a solid promise this night, my brothers and sisters, as I stand before you and you see me. I might not be there. You might not be there. But there will be some of the stones that God the Father will rise up that shall stand and say, "I'm not afraid of that uncircumcised devil. Let him come on and I'll pluck his teeth." Because that's just exactly what's going to happen. And so he told him, he said, "Let me tell you something, Veller." He said, "You come to me with a shield and spear and sword." And he says, "I come to you with the God of Israel." There was a turning point. That man went to him in the things that was created by man for his armament. But the armament really was in the God of Israel. And whenever he chooses and calls a people, never has God sent the children of men or individuals to do a job that he has not given them the sufficient things to handle the job and to get it done. I'd like to have my brother now come up and sing a special number for us. I'd like to have him. I want you to listen real close to this number now. Would you come up here, brother?
I can't.
Why can't you?
There's no strings.
No strings?
No strings.
Well, play it anyway. They won't hear it.
Play without strings.
Oh. Well, I thought you... Well, okay. What? I don't know. Can you use these?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that an odd thing that he can't play without strings? Wouldn't do him a bit of good, did it? Do you think that God is going to send a people and call them to do something like I ask him to come up and sing a special number and give him something that he can't even handle to get the job done? Don't ever think for a minute that's so. God gives the men power and the sisters that the work that he has chosen for them to do, that the mark that he has set for them is done. And he gives them the sufficient spiritual strength that they will allow it and seek it to go forth and conquer. And he doesn't send them without their strings that they can't be in harmony. But he prepares them. Because you want to know why? Because they want to be prepared for his holy work. That's why. That's why he prepares them. He prepares them because that's the desire of their heart, to be prepared of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, you know, next year, about this time, we're going to stand up and look at each other in the eye. Oh, there might be some of us who couldn't make it. Might be other people here. But we'll stand up and say, "Boy, let me tell you something. That angel flew from the midst of heaven, brother. I'll tell you that right now. And it's just 153 years ago. He flew from the midst of heaven. He had the everlasting gospel to be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he restored the power of the priesthood and the power of the laying on of hands and ministering to the sick. And the power that whosoever should take upon them the name of Christ and enter into the waters of baptism will God the Father give the gift of the Holy Ghost." That power he gave them as a present, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We can meet back here and discuss it and say, don't we have it? Yeah, sure do. I can turn around and say, don't we have it? Yeah. Don't we have it over there, Kirk? You bet. Well, we got it. Man, we got it. But I'm not going to give it to nobody. I'm going to keep it right here. And I sure don't want to lose it. I want you to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ was given to you and I to be given to others. It was given to you and I to give to every soul upon the nation of this earth. It was given to you and I to not only believe, but to be doers of. That's what the gospel of Christ is all about. That's what the business of this bride is all about. That's what the preaching of the gospel is all about, that it saves souls. That's what the testimony that comes from the hearts of the children and the sisters and the men and your servants. That's what the testimonies are all about, to testify of He who walked that path, of He who allowed them to drive nails in Him and mock Him and spit upon Him and take His clothes off before the multitudes of people and scourge Him. He who broke the bands of death, took power over hell. He who's going to pluck the teeth out of that feller and cause him to tuck his tail and run. Brothers and sisters, I know that I'm talking to a people that will tell me, yes, I believe that. Yes, I believe that. And then I'd have to ask you, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to meet here next year and say this is 153 years and this is 154 years and this is 155 years and we're still arguing and bickering and we're still not united and we're still not working out and reaching out for the gospel of Jesus Christ upon the nations of the earth? Are we going to do that? We're going to say, yeah, it was restored clear back then. Oh, they had a heck of a time. Oh my gosh, they've had arguments and fights, and boy, now we got the Bickerites and we got Josephites and Hedrickites and we got all kinds of kites all over us from every hand. We don't even have a powder to get cleaned up with to drive them away. But until this work of the gospel is first and foremost in our hearts, until the sun reigneth within our hearts and minds, this church will be stagnant. It'll be hamstringed and it won't work. Brothers and sisters, the World Council of Churches, the ecumenical movement, that ugly head that's raising up to destroy the children of men and to teach them a philosophy of life is opposite unto life, that hath no light, it is dark. That power is not hamstringed because it's running rampantly across the nations of the earth. And just like the plaque that they have down where I work, that the easiest way for evil to get ahead is for good to do nothing. I believe that I'm looking at a good people. I believe that I'm looking at a people that if we put our heart and our minds to it, we would rise up and we would begin to run. And that we would not match the powers there, but we would overcome it. That's our mission. Our mission is to stand for Christ. Our mission is not to continue to be slothful. Our mission is not to continue to back off and not work with power and with strength and support one another. Our mission is to work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to reach out to the souls of the children of men and provide a place of seclusion. Provide a place of seclusion for those who are hungering and thirsting that they could find it. That means that there should not be any given time in our prayer service, in our preaching services, in our business services,
whatever service it might be, there should be no time that this body of people and the members of Christ that gather together here, there should be no time that if a stranger were to walk in that door, that they would be taken back by the very warmth of the love that we hold one for another. And not only would they be taken back, but they would feel that warmth begin to touch and to surge through their heart and their mind and give them a desire as well to say, here I am, Lord. Mold me. Make me as you see fit. I'd like to read the... sort of did. Thought it was, anyway. I was going to read the song that Gary and... oh, here it is. Zion will be beautiful. I'd like to read it to you. He says, when we can united together in prayer, when we can be united together everywhere, when we can love our brother, red, black, or white, when we can love each other with all our might, Zion will be beautiful. Zion will be glorious. Zion will be our everlasting joy. Zion will be wonderful. Zion will be marvelous. Zion will be a reality forevermore. When we can give to those not as fortunate as we, when we can share our love with those across the sea, when we can love instead of hate each other every day, when we can be sincere in everything we do or say, when we can give instead of take and be happy that we did, when we can work and play and live as God would have us live, when we can have God's Spirit to guide us every day, we can help each other along the way. That's what needs to be applied to the hearts of the children of men, if that sign is to be a reality. That Zion that it talks about there must be a reality. It must become a reality. There must be a place for the hungry souls of the children of men to find today, who are weary, downtrodden, fearful, and afraid. That's our job. That's the little portion that is ours to carry for the Lord, is to prepare our hearts and our minds, to prepare ourselves where those who would come, they would find that seclusion, they would find that peace, they would find what they've been looking for years, and recognize that it was Christ all the time. You know, the scriptures tells us in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm not going to go through it and read it. It tells us that, there's sort of something like milk and the meat. You know, we've been nursing for a long time, sucking our fingers too sometimes, but we didn't get.
Once again, I'm changing the tape.
What one little old small polish tumbled down through a little old stream that's by the power of God stone will do to a giant that the nations fear called the devil, the deceiver of the souls of the children of men. A little old tiny nucleus, though they be small in number, do you know that it's going to slay that giant? It is. It's going to slay that giant, and it's going to fall, and great will be the fall thereof, because God is going to slay it in His power. I'd like to read a scripture there in the 7th chapter
Deuteronomy that my brother John McIndy decided he needed to use. A rascal. When he read the other day, he says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God." And I believe that we are a holy people unto the Lord. And you know, I might not agree, just like Brother Marvin, when he stood to his feet here the other day and spoke to us in the manner that he did, I believe he spoke under the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, I really believe that. And I believe that if I was to sit down with you people, my lovely brothers and sisters, and we'd sit down and we'd begin to discuss the gospel of Jesus Christ and the wisdom that is ours, wherein God has given us some enlightenment, but not all, we'd have difference of opinion, no doubt. Yeah, I'd have a difference of opinion, and I even have difference of opinion with my wife from time to time and my children. But I'll tell you one thing, I love them. Just like I love you. And I believe that if I was to go out, and I'm acquainted with the world because I have to work in it just like a lot of you, and just like the children have to go to school in it. And I believe that if I go out and I embrace the world, that I can't find a better group of people that I see before me. I find strength. I find hope in the body of Christ. I find that. I find a peace. I find things there. But I also know that I lack. I also know that we of a body lack. And though we might be a good people as the world goes, we must be a mighty people as God goes. We must be a strong, mighty people for righteousness. Not just a good people, but a mighty people, a royal priesthood. Not just an everyday old common priesthood, but a royal priesthood. One who's shod with peace. One who is a gift of that precious gift and holds it called charity in the latter days. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. And I don't see an individual in here tonight that I don't think that God hasn't chosen as a special individual. And everybody's special in their own place. Everybody's special to the Lord because you're his. Everyone. And I'll tell you something, I got four children and I love all four of them. And every one of them thinks a little different and has their own ways, and they don't always think the same thing and everything else, but I still love them. And you and I don't always think the same way, but I want you to know that we have a God that loves us. And I want you to know that that God that loves us, that God that has blessed us and directed our lives into this place, I want you to know that he's crying out to us now and say, "Okay, my children, now it's your turn. Show your love for me. Rise up and be accounted as mine." You know, I look at ourselves and I feel like that we're at the time that it speaks of in the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. When they were going about all the time, the children of Israel, and they were not observing the Sabbath of the Lord. The Lord says, "Hey, listen, you've got to quit that. You make holy my Sabbath, sanctify my day." No, they just wouldn't do it. He told them, "Listen, now wait a minute. He says, "Listen here." He says, "I've led you out of Egypt by my holy hand. I've taken care of you. I've fed you. I've fed you in the wilderness. I've done all these things." But he says, "You know," he says, "listen," he says, "you're still polluting my Sabbath before the eyes of the heathen." And he says, "I want the heathen to know that I have a children." God wants the heathen today to know that he has a children.
are children who embrace his love and the gospel of Christ, are children who's ready to give for that which they have received, and we have received much. Are children who's ready to rise up, are children who is ready to be accounted for Christ, are children who is ready to say, I don't agree with you, brother, but there's one thing they can't do. They can't keep me from loving you. The children that have learned to speak with love and peace on their tongue. The children that have learned to hold each other's hand to help along the way. The children who have prepared themselves to supply the nations of the world, just like we were talking in our business meeting, to give of them the substance that we have both spiritually and temporally. Brothers and sisters, it's time. It's time that we rise up. It's time that we rise up and be counted as gods. It's time that we rise up and let the nations of the world know that the devil might have a world council of churches and an ecumenical movement, but that God, the eternal Father who created all things in heaven and earth, has set his hand the second time and restored the gospel of Jesus Christ and has given unto his children power, has given unto his children love, compassion, and strength that they can run and endure, and that spirit that shall lead them. And I want you to take notice that I said to those who are sent by God. I want you to notice that. I said that in times back. I said to those who are sent by God, I want you to take notice. They're not like the scripture says. I believe it's in the second book of Jacob in the Book of Mormon where it says they missed the mark. I want you to know if that people is sent by God, they won't miss the mark, but they'll accomplish those things in which God has sent them. Has God sent us? Let's accomplish it. Let's get the work to rise up with power. Let's let the nations know that God has a people here below that's ready to support and stand for righteousness and hold his hand and let him lead, that we will know where to go. I'm going to sit down, my brothers and sisters. And before I sit down, I'll lay a challenge to you again. Prove him. Prove him in your life. What does he mean to you? What does he mean to me? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Does it mean enough to us to let him just take the fleshly parts of our heart and set his seal upon us as his? One whose mouth shall be used for righteousness. One whose mouth shall speak out and testify of the hope that they have within us. One whose finances, energies, wherever they might be, will be given to the work of the gospel of Christ. Or one to just be satisfied to say, yeah, he is. He established that work. He set his hand the second time. It's going to go forth among the nations. It's going to go with power. It's going to subdue the world council of churches and the one that it turns into, who is the church of the devil and who's founder thereof. Yes, it's going to do all that, but well, I don't know. I'm pretty tired. I think I'm going to sit down. You know, I've just been working all day, and I'm just a little too tired to really get up and just lean in the yoke, you know, and just start pulling that plow. Brothers, let's take some vitamin pills. Let's get within our hearts and our mind a desire and an inspiration that burns within us to serve the Lord God Almighty and to stand and let the world and let the people in Independence and at our jobs and at our schools and wherever we might be, let them know that we believe in the God of Israel and that He has set His hand, and that indeed that hand shall go forth with power and subdue the nations and rise up and save the souls of the children of men. Let's do it. Let's do it. With all our fiber and with all the strength of heart and mind. God bless us.
Thank you. Closing song tonight will be number 128. 128. And Brother Mason and Brother Scott, could I have the two of you gentlemen come up, please? Number 128 is our closing hymn.